Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network and the Fans First Sports Network. More on that in a little bit. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me on this Sunday morning via Zencaster is my friend Mike Leboff. And Mike, the Islanders took two of their three California games. Wasn't perfect by any means and certainly seemed to start out pretty poorly, but it ended pretty well with a couple of solid performances in Anaheim and San Jose. And the Islanders right now are in seventh place, 2 points clear of the Penguins. So mission accomplished, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's mission accomplished. I tell you what, I'm very excited for them to not be out there anymore. The Islanders are back. I felt this whole week, I felt like, my schedule was just so rocked by this. And it's so pathetic. Right. Like that, I was explaining to Emily, like, she's like, why are you staying up if you're so tired? And I was like, well, the Islanders are playing the Ducks tonight and I got to watch it. And she asked me how the Ducks are doing. And I said, oh, they suck. They're one of the worst in the league. She's like, well, can't you just go to sleep? And because they'll probably win. And I said, no.
Doesn't absolutely work that way.
and then, you know, you're going to bed happy because they beat Anaheim and San Jose. And you just know, like, oh, man, my day tomorrow is just going to be shot. It's like You're going on a little bit of a bender, sans the booze. And it felt such a weird time. We talked last episode before they went away that how much of a wrinkle in the schedule this was. Mm-hmm. The Penguins are playing the Rangers. You got the Panthers playing teams, from the East. They're playing the Devils and whatever. And then the Islanders are just out West. It felt a little bit like when, in like the age of exploration, you just go send a team, that ship's going out to go discover Argentina or something. Right. Hopefully we see them again because the season could have ended over there. Like it just, they went out West and they came back thankfully with the season still going. But it really did feel like that. Like, one of those weird situations where it almost felt like the hockey world just wasn't going to hear from the Islanders this week because of where they were playing and everybody else. It was just going to be a matter of fact kind of road trip, two terrible teams, a good team in LA. And
I was going to say, Barry Trotz said almost the same thing last year when they had all the different COVID breaks and stuff. He was like, it feels like the league is happening without us, basically.
Yeah.
That's sort of how it happened now. It was like, again, they came back thankfully with points, but it did feel like they were kind of operating on an alternate timeline for about a week or so.
And so were we, right? Like I am just like a zombie for the past few days. It's not a valid excuse to your spouse, especially, with kids or whoever, like, I can't help you with that. Like the Islanders are on a West Coast swing. You're going to have to do that on your own. I got to sleep. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. If I don't get a 2-hour nap here, like, I don't think I'll be able to stay up for the third period when they're up 3 goals. Like, how am I going to know that none of them, got hurt or what happened at the end? Did Kyle Palmieri get his fourth point? I need to know that stuff. So I need to nap now and you can take care of the stuff in the house. Yeah. That is just not a valid excuse for some reason. But
Saturday I was gassed in the afternoon and I was like, man, I don't know if I can make it. I got 6 hours to go before this Islanders game even starts. Oh my god, what am I gonna do? And then you start storing up food. Like I had like some dried mango, I had some nuts, I had some like candy and cookies and stuff just to try and keep awake. And I managed to do it because like they played well. So like, that would keep me awake, but I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna make this.
You know what I did? Like you, I kind of planned my whole day. Once again, pathetic. Like planned out my whole day around a 10 p.m. puck drop in Anaheim. So what I did was I left all the dishes in the sink. after dinner, like turned on the dishwasher, anything that couldn't fit, I left it in the sink. And then I went around the house and I kind of looked at any other things that like we needed to clean and wash. And I just put them in the sink. And I was like, the hardest part is the intermissions. Like you just want to go to sleep during the intermission, I'll go to sleep. It's 8:00. So I did that. Cause I was like, if I can't go to sleep with the sink looking like that. So I would just do dishes. And the problem was that I finished them all in between the first and second period. So I had nothing to do in that second intermission. And, it almost sent me to bed early in Anaheim, but we made it through. They came back, some of the explorers, and while they were out there, it does feel like, some of the other teams around them have kind of, fallen off. It's definitely looks like a three team race now. And like you said, they were on an alternate timeline. Like while that was all going on, while the Islanders were out and, across an ocean or here at the homestead, it's like England and France. It feels very much like England and France. If they made an alliance to be like, we need you to fight Spain while we're over there in, the Americas discovering stuff, wiping off all these native populations. We need you to fight Spain because the Rangers would be Spain in this situation. Right. Cause then the Rangers just absolutely whopped the Penguins. Yeah. And Tristan Jarry, Mike Sullivan keeps sending Tristan Jarry out there to start games. And then midway through the game, he's getting pulled. And it's just like, this is all happening. And the Islanders are so far away. I want them to come home because this stuff is important that's going on. And they just feel so far away. Like, I don't like watching Kyle Palmieri play on the West Coast. I want to come over here.
Not only is Tristan Jarry killing the Penguins, but my Penguins follows have let it be known, Brian Dumoulin and Jeff Carter are also killing the Penguins from within. And unlike most weeks, the Islanders did actually get a lot of help this week from other teams, which is, again, not something that always happens. But let's actually talk about these games real quick. And let's get the worst one out of the way first, thankfully, because it was the first one. It was Tuesday night in L.A. They lost 4-2. They played a fine first period. J.G. Pageau was back. There was a lot of excitement. Oh, and Pierre Engvall, as would become a theme for the week, scored a goal. And again, I thought they looked okay. The second period was a complete disaster. Within a span of a couple of minutes, they went from being, I guess, tied 1-1 to being down 3-1. And then at one point it was, I guess, 3-2, but it didn't look, oh no, it was 4-2, I guess. They didn't look that good. And I just went to sleep. This was the one I had to go into the city to the office on Wednesday. And I was like, listen, they're down. They're not coming back. And I just went right to sleep. Was it 4-2? Was my math?
It doesn't matter. Whatever normal score you want to throw at this game, that's what it felt like. Whether it's 3-1, 4-2, five two, whatever it ended up.
It was 5-2. Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. Whatever it ended up, it was. It felt like that. It felt like the Islanders, an Islanders loss in a game that hopefully will soon be forgotten.
It was not good. Pageau did score, which was good, but. The one thing I will remember from this game, though, is Ilya Sorokin was not good, and yeah, you know what, that happens every once in a while. He's been lights out all the rest of the season. You can't deny him maybe one sluggish game there. But after the Islanders coughed up those three goals really quickly, Lane Lambert on the bench was fuming. He looked like a cartoon character. Like steam was going to start coming out of his ears. Like he was going to start hulking out or something. I don't know if I've seen an NHL coach that mad before, but holding it in, like he didn't want to yell at anybody. He didn't want to call his players this, that, and the other thing and every name in the book. But he was, I literally thought he was going to like burst out of his suit, like the Incredible Hulk. That was my main takeaway. And the fact that I went to sleep. So, that was at 5-2 LA. Forget about it. It was done, but it did make Thursday in Anaheim, the game that you and I were we planned our days around, much more important. And Wednesday in Anaheim was a back to back. And fine, the Ducks are terrible, but it is a back to back. The Islanders have traveled across the country. They got obviously shelled in the first game, but and then of course the first period is terrible. Like the Ducks sort of ran them out of the building. Like, and it was crazy. And it was 2-1 Ducks at the end of the first. Trevor Zegras did some kind of Globetrotter shit. And to pass to Kevin Shattenkirk, longtime Ducks fan, Kevin Shattenkirk. He's from the New Rochelle area of California. I don't know if anybody remembers that. But you're like, come on, we're really going to do this now? It's bad. I mean, losing to LA, like the Kings are at least good, right? So losing to the Kings is really not that big a deal. But like, you guys can't do this. But they turned things around. Second period was way more even. Hudson Fashing scored. Nelson scored. Engvall had a beautiful give and go with Palmieri, who ended up having 4 points in the game on a goal and three assists. And Sorokin was great. He made 20 saves, but he was called upon to, without him in the first period, they would have been down probably 4-1. Right. And I was like, why is he even starting on a back-to-back? I'm kind of glad he did, because he really helped them out. And John Gibson did not look great, especially in the third. And the Islanders ended up shooting out the Ducks. So 6-3 was the final, and I got to tell you, it was a pretty impressive performance. I know the Ducks are terrible, but given a lot of the circumstances and the importance of the game and the timing of the game, I was actually pretty impressed by that. I was glad I stayed up. Let's just put it that way. It was a fun one to watch.
Yeah, that was. It was fun after that first period, but the day itself was just brutal.
Right, yeah.
Because of what happened with the Kings game and the fact that they lost to the Caps the game before. And
yeah, that's true.
You know, that they lose that game to Anaheim in regulation, and boy, season is in a lot of issue, you know, peril. And to waiting for that that kind of game and that situation, waiting till 10 o'clock to watch that unfold was tough. And then I remember I was at Stop and Shop, and I saw someone with an Islander hat who was not close enough for me to talk without shouting over some people that would be absolutely horrified at me shouting about the Islanders three aisles over. And I was like, I should go up to this guy and ask him. You know, because you were saying you were like hunter and gatherer style, getting dried mangoes and whatever. I was gonna go up to this dude and be like, oh, are you getting your stuff together for the game tonight to make sure you stay awake? And I'm glad I didn't, because he probably was like, no man, I just go and bring my stuff home for my family. But you know, that just kind of shows you what that loss to the Kings did. It just threw that entire day into a nightmare scenario where you're thinking about Jesus Christ, like this could be it. And
yeah,
you know, this season ending out there out on the West Coast would just be, you know, the ultimate not with a bang but a whimper scenario. And nobody, like the Islanders, I don't even think people would recognize it, because nobody's going to talk about what the Islanders going 2-for-3 on the West Coast, like, and coming back. They're just gonna assume that the Islanders were kind of off this weekend, that the Penguins and Panthers have made up their games in hand. Yeah, that second period, the Engvall, the middle six, let's call them, because the Horvat Lee line, with whoever they're playing with. I guess the Islanders are the only team in the league where the decision between the two forwards, one being the healthy, like if you're going to healthy scratch this forward, he's either being healthy scratched or he's playing on the first line, and it's Bailey and Holmstrom. I don't know if there's another team in the league where the 13th, right. It's either you're either the 13th forward or the third forward, depending on the night.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Bailey has been scratched for the last two. And Holmstrom is on the top line. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about the San Jose game in a minute. I think he's looked okay up there.
Yeah,
better
than what they're getting out of Bailey. But you know, but Bailey was playing really well with Fashing and Cizikas, but because Cal Clutterbuck's back, he can't play Casey Cizikas without anyone but Cal Clutterbuck. Come on. But that middle six, the Pageau, Fashing, Parisi line, and Engvall, Palmieri, and Nelson, those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
In that Ducks game, kind of just took it over. Brock Nelson was in one of his moods where he's just, you're like, he's better than McDavid. Like you're watching him, you're just like, this guy is much better than McDavid. I haven't seen McDavid do half the stuff that Brock Nelson can do.
But yeah, no, they did take over that game and were just cooking. Like they were just, both those games, they were really good.
It was every time they stepped on the ice too. Like they were like, you know, Palmieri was beating guys on the wing to set up Engvall or whatever. And I mean, that going to bed that night, knowing you're going to be tired the next day, but knowing that this time you're not going to be that scared, and you had 2 days to kind of just relax before sharks.
You had to prepare yourself for, because it was not a fun, you know, kind of 24 hours before the game, but afterwards your mood definitely lightened a lot, and you're like, oh man,
that was the thing. Like the Wednesday, the worst part of the Tuesday loss at Los Angeles was, man, Wednesday's going to suck. And the best part of the Wednesday win was, oh, Thursday and Friday are going to be so relaxing. And then we can, you know, ramp up the nerves again on Saturday.
And so it was kind of, Saturday was a little bit like the Anaheim game, although having obviously won, it kind of lightened things up. But what was interesting, though, between those two games, so the Ducks game was on Wednesday and the Sharks game was on Saturday. What happened was between those two games, we talked about this last time, like the – it seemed like every team that's chasing the Islanders was all playing. The Panthers, the Caps, the Sabres, the Penguins, who obviously the Islanders were chasing at the time. Everybody was playing. And for the most part, those teams ended up losing a lot. The Panthers have creeped up a little bit. They were 1 point behind the Islanders Saturday afternoon as they came back to beat the Devils, but then the Islanders made it three again with their win. But the Penguins lost back-to-backs to the Rangers Friday and Saturday, or was it Thursday and Saturday? The second one was like a 6-0 washout. That team, they're a bunch of frauds, dude. I'm sorry. They're just awful. The Sabres lost a couple of big ones. Who else? I think the Caps lost. Oh, the Caps lost to somebody bad. I think they lost to the Habs. Something like, it was just everything that could have broken for the Islanders, with the exception of the Panthers, happened. And it made every single time one of those teams lost, it made, okay, Saturday's huge. Saturday's huge. Saturday's huge. And again, the Islanders start pretty poorly. Not poorly as they did on Wednesday, but like they get two power plays right off the bat. Like within the first like 6 minutes of the game, the Islanders have two power plays. Both of them are terrible. We're going to talk a lot more about the power play in the second half of the show. But then the worst thing is that the second one ends and Kevin LeBanc, who's from Staten Island, by the way, shows up and he just scores like instantaneously. I don't know if Sorokin was asleep. I don't know what happened, but it was the exact kind of thing that we've seen the Islanders do all the time. Bad power play followed by an immediate goal by the opposition. And again, you're just like, guys, this is one of the worst teams in the league. What on earth are we doing? But slowly, they start to kind of creep back in. J.G. Pageot gets a breakaway. He doesn't score. He gets a shorthanded breakaway, and this time he scores. So we've exchanged, you know, one bad power play for one good penalty kill. And in the second period, it was pretty much all Islanders. Kyle Palmieri had one of the coolest tips I've ever seen. The heel of his stick tipped one through Kaapo Kakkonen's legs from Scott Mayfield. It was great. And then Ryan Pulock scored the type of power play goal that he should have, no joke, 20 of every year. But because he never hits the net, it doesn't happen. But when every once in a while, when it does happen, it's a pretty spectacular sight. And this shot, man, was a laser right from the point past Kakkonen. And just like that, the Islanders went from being, you know, down 1-0 to being tied after the first to being up 3-1. And that was all they really needed. Sorokin needed to be good very late in the second period. No goals were scored in the third, but Sorokin again had to be called upon for a couple points. And you thought, oh man, if the Sharks get one here, it might be a problem. But he was great. He and Kakkonen both made 29 saves. But Bo Horvat, as they kept talking about throughout the broadcast, had a ton of chances. He must have had like 6 or 7 chances in the Sharks game alone and buried none of them. I think, what has he got, like one goal in his last 12 or something like that? But, and of course, like all these Vancouver guys are like, you see what happens, you know? But like, this dude is doing every single thing he can out there, except for scoring goals, and it's not his fault. Like, he's doing everything he can, and they just aren't falling for him. And I think they will eventually, but it is kind of funny. And apparently Anders Lee was like kind of giving him a pep talk on the bench after one of those missed chances. And you know, he's playing brilliantly. He's a force out there, but they just aren't falling for him. But right now it's the Pierre Engvall, Kyle Palmieri, and Brock Nelson show. And as long as those guys keep doing their thing, I think the Islanders are in good shape. And J.G. Pageot has come back from his injury kind of red hot. So so what'd you make of the Shark game? Well, so what did you do to stay up for this one? I mean,
I had a little bit of deja vu, because I went to pick up dinner for myself and Emily. And I went to this place, this food truck in Wantagh called The Rolling Joint, which is really good. It's a place where you think it's, you know, it's stoner food or whatever, but it's, and when you think of stoner food, it's like, oh, should we just put some barbecue sauce on these nachos, man? No, it's fantastic.
That's cool.
And the reason I had deja vu is because I was listening to the Devils Panthers game on the way there and back, and I remember going there last playoff run for a Rangers Penguins game, and my entire the Penguins were up, they blew a huge lead. It was a game I think Shesterkin got pulled, or they wanted to pull him, and then the Penguins blew it, and then they ended up winning. But I heard every Rangers goal on the radio, and none for the Penguins. So when that hit me, I was like, I got to turn this off because I'm just gonna hear that, you know, the Panthers are up like six, you know, I'll hear every Panthers goal and en route to a 6-0 win. And it turned out I was right, because when I came home, the Devils were up 2-0. So
yeah,
even though they blew it, I was like, all right, good job. But yeah, I went there, I got a bunch of food, and I kind of timed myself out. Like, I was like, I'm gonna eat a little now, a little later, and then have something during the middle of the game. And that's what I did to stay up. Basically force myself to have a stomach ache by overeating, because then I'll stay up, like in Always Sunny, right? when Charlie, the opposite, I guess, when Charlie and Frank eat cat food to go to sleep because it makes your stomach hurt. But yeah, then I was really upset when that game started, because the power play was just so dismal. And then when the Sharks scored, I wanted to just go up and down that Islanders bench and say, like, this is, you deserve this.
It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. Like,
what is wrong? I think you put it perfectly with the Islanders power play is like apologetic.
It is.
And I think a lot of this is like Noah Dobson's decision making is bizarre.
They're just like, they walk up to the blue line and they're like, I'm sorry, we have an extra guy. It's not our fault. I promise. It wasn't our call, but we have an extra guy. Your guy's coming out again soon. Is it okay if we like take a shot on net? Is that cool? I know we have an extra guy, but it you know, this will be over in a minute. Like, dude, what are you doing? Take this. You have the power play. Now, in fairness, they did score a power play goal. Again, Ryan Pulick's goal was on the power play, but it's so embarrassing. Guys, what are you doing? There are teams below them in the standings by 25 points that have more dangerous looking power plays on the island. Like, what is going on?
It's the first unit too. Like the second unit actually looked okay. I was like, maybe they should just throw these guys out there. And I've been like really kind of concerned with Dobson's.
Yeah,
it's like his numbers yesterday, like his advanced numbers looked fine, but you're watching him, you're just like, his decision making looks really scary. He had that one shift where he kind of just like he was like logged off a controller or whatever. The puck almost went in the net as he was just like standing there. He lost it, and then he goes and gets it. He's still not under any pressure because the Sharks do not want to be playing hockey. Like, they want to be anywhere else in the world. So nobody jumped on that puck, and he had like, you know, oodles of time to get it out, and just turned it over to nobody.
I mean, he's still so young, and he's like kind of growing into this sort of, you know, 25 minute a game defenseman. So I am willing to give him a lot of kind of leash on that. Cause I mean, he's got a lot to learn. He's still a young kid, but it's tough. And the guy I keep going back to is the guy who is now scratched, and that's Josh Bailey. Like, when Bailey is playing with confidence, he's an effective player. And we've seen in the playoffs in particular, he can be really good. But man, there are some days when you're just like, do you even want to be here? Like, do you, you know, and I don't mean that derisively. I guess I do. But like, it looks like the poor guy is just going through something. And you just want to be like, dude, just take the day off. It's okay. Really, we'll find somebody else. Because that sometimes Dobson has these shifts where you're just like, bro, what are you doing out there? And they always seem to happen on the power play. And you know who else was like that kind of a little bit? Nick Leddy. Like, Leddy, for a guy with all of his gifts and all of his skills, we talked about this a lot while he was an Islander. Like, he's a good player. He was, in particular, back then, he was a good player. He had skills that a lot of players didn't have. But, dude, you put him on the power play, and he just looks like he just doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he's completely lost out there. This is when you're supposed to shine. This is when you're supposed to do cool shit. Like, this is not this, you know? And so
it's bizarre.
Imagine if they scored like one power play every three games. right? Like how much better they would be. They'd probably be challenging for second or third of the division right now.
Like, it's so sad. Yeah. There was a stat that Brendan read off yesterday where they hadn't had a multiple power play goal. They'd had one in their last 48 games,
yeah,
like the Vancouver win. Right. And Butch was just like...
He laughed. He just openly laughed.
I mean, the broadcast, I thought, was off the rails all night against San Jose. Like, the Los Angeles one with Allen and Butch, they were kind of like getting... They were building up to the lunacy of Saturday night, I guess. And I get that MSG's trying to save some money and not send...
Right.
Them out there to cover on site, but you know that would have made sense if the Islanders were out of it and like these were meaningless games out there, or if they were taking place when the West Coast swing normally does in November. But I mean, these are must win games, and the first two games the audio was off for Los Angeles and Anaheim through like the first period and a half. And then like this game against San Jose, and I actually enjoyed the broadcast on Saturday night a lot because it felt like you were watching the game with Butch in like a suite or something because he just didn't stop talking. It was incredible. he like there was it the Cizikas penalty? No, it was a penalty by Zetterlund on Cizikas, and he was like, I think that was a penalty on Cizikas, actually.
Yeah, right, because he got called for interference because like he just kind of – Casey essentially skated into him, and Zetterlund got called for interference. This was one of the two – this was the one – this was the power play that the Sharks immediately scored after it was over. But, yeah, Butch was – you know, it's funny. Like, people still call Butch a homer, and I'm like, I don't know if you guys are watching these games because – sometimes he'll just like say like, no, the Islanders were wrong there. Like he just basically, he went down there and was like, that's not a penalty. Give me a break.
Joe Micheletti's a homer, right? Like Joe Micheletti is the Rangers are down 5-2 in, you know, 2 minutes left in the third, but man, Sam, you got to give him effort for trying here. And what a team that this, you know, these guys show heart even down to the final whistle. Look, oh, Gerard Gallant's calling a timeout. He's going to pull the goalie. They're not giving up.
Right.
Butch is a fan. Like I think it's fair to say, like he's like if any of us were in there, because he's like yelling. I think he just stopped giving a shit basically. Because I go back to that Sorokin to Nelson goal where he's like, oh my god, breakaway! Like as Nelson's about to pick up the puck and go down the ice, and he's just like, yeah, Butch, I said the same exact thing. But just my job isn't to be calling it.
Yeah,
I'm a fan on the couch, but as for the game itself, like, middle of the lineup again, and also Alex Romanov, and this kind of ties back to my Dobson point, was when Dobson and Romanov were playing together, they were both struggling, big time, and then Romanov moved with Mayfield, and I'm like, he's still struggling a little bit, and then he switches to play with Ryan Pulock, and he's maybe improved that him and Aho, I think, are most improved players over the past couple months here.
Yeah.
It's been a joy to watch.
Aho left the San Jose game with an injury. Yeah. So
that's how wild this kind of past few months have been. It's like, that's a huge, going to be a huge loss if he's not in the lineup.
Right.
Parker
Wotherspoon has been sitting for 22 straight games, as Brendan mentioned on the thing. And I was like, holy crap, why? Why didn't we send him back to Bridgeport? I don't understand. Poor guy. I hope he's doing all right.
But, well, he's doing what Aho did. He's on the Sebastian Aho plan. and now he might have to be Sebastian Aho. But Romanov, I think the one thing I've noticed with him is when he was playing with Mayfield and Dobson, it was almost like he was much more stationary. Like now he's skating. He's a great skater. Like he moves very well and he's skating himself out of trouble. And Aho, this is kind of a similar thing. Like, as Aho's improvement started to become more easy to like see and to notice, it's this guy's using his best asset, which is his feet, to get in and out of trouble or to catch up to guys, to recover. And Romanov, I think, is doing the same thing. He's brilliant at skating the puck out of trouble. Mm. And it was almost like he was relying on his partner to do that when he was playing with Mayfield and Dobson. And now with Pulock, he's taking it on himself.
Yeah,
and he's been awesome, and he's got to have the best smile in the league. Even through his bubble, like, you're like, look at that thing's beaming as he set up Parisi for that goal. Like, these two guys smiling at each other. That was just a gorgeous moment. As this guy's like, just he's got this huge smile. You could see it through his full shield. He lit up Thomas Hertl. Had to fight two out of three games. Like, someone attacked him, even though he's wearing the full face shield.
That hit was great, and the fact that somebody went after him was hilarious. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, that was a clean hit. That was a beautiful hit. And like, Hertl is a good player, but man, he wasn't looking, and all of a sudden his face ended up in Romanov's shoulder or arm, and he went flying. And some other guy jumped in, and this is exactly what the league apparently is trying to minimize now, these kind of fights after clean hits. But he had a great game against San Jose. Like you said, I completely forgot about Zach Parise having a goal against Anaheim that was helped set up by a Romanov shot, and Gibson led up the rebound, and Parise was there. So, he's done really well. You know, Aho has turned it around. I'm not ready to throw too many laurels at him just yet. I need to be convinced a little bit more, but he has shown a lot more. And maybe there's something to that, where they play with guys that are sort of better defensively, and it allows them to kind of be more of what they know they can do and get out there and do stuff. But I think it does tie back to what we were talking about with Dobson before. They're playing with confidence right now. Like, they're doing really well. They're out there trying to do different things. Sometimes it doesn't work, but then they can recover, and they can use that speed to recover. Dobson just sometimes he just looks like he's just lost. Like, the wheels are spinning. He's trying to remember everything he needs to know, and it just ain't coming to him, you know. And then before you know it, the play's over. I mean, hockey's a fast game. Before you know it, the play has moved on, and now that guy's behind me. I gotta go get him. So it's been tough, but again, I feel like he's got time. I don't get too mad.
I'm not saying like you got to trade this guy or anything. I'm just saying I just want him to get better, because if his ceiling is so high that if he can re-realize it, because I think he did last year, if he can get back to that level, the Islanders become much more dangerous. And without Matt Barzal, like, he's even more important, because who do you trust to get the puck in the zone on the power play? It's like, it's got to be Dobson or Nelson if you're skating it in. And because it's not going to be Lee, Horvat, or Palmieri, as we can see. Those guys are not all that great at doing it. So
I have noticed, though, that they have been carrying in a lot more. I don't know if this is the Pierre Engvall effect, where they're carrying the puck in a lot more, which, again, makes why their power play is so embarrassing, just so infuriating and terrible. Because, like, dude, you've been carrying the puck in the zone all night. Now, all of a sudden, you stopped when you've gotten the extra man. It's crazy.
and Engvall is like, up, but Engvall has been awesome.
Yes.
On this trip and going it back, bringing it back to Dobson, like, you can, like you said, you can watch Dobson and you can see his wheels turning. And that's how I felt with Engvall for like the first couple shifts, first couple games. You're like, this guy is just thinking like, okay, I'm supposed to go here. Okay, I'm supposed to go here. The protocol is to do this right now. And then when they went out west, that just went away. Like, he just, he's just flowing, and he's a really, really quick skater. He's very good at kind of holding and protecting the puck in precarious situations, and he's been really good, and that's why I'm like, come on, Noah, like, just catch up with these. Like, if Sebastian Aho and Alex Romanov can do it, I think you could do it too. It's like Pierre Engvall can do it. Like, you can get back there.
So apparently, according to Kevin Kurz and Andrew Gross, the thing with Engvall has been learning the lingo. Apparently, it took him a while because he was scratched for a couple of games. But he's coming around, and he has looked really good in these last couple of games. But apparently, what stops people a little bit from kind of getting the Islanders system right away is the lingo. And this is a quote from Kevin Kurz's article at The Athletic. And this is from Kyle Palmieri, who says, "I think some of the lingo that we use in meetings, it took me a couple of months to figure out some of this stuff. The coach will yell out four drills and that the names don't make any sense. You just got to figure it out. He'll fit in well for us if he keeps playing that way." And even Lane Lambert is like, the communication part of it, understanding what the language is that we use is different, different things that are different from other places, take some time to acclimatize to. I am desperate now to know what this lingo is and what this language is, and I need to know it right now. Like, what are the words that the Islanders are using to describe what actions? I mean, if we can know like every single audible that Peyton Manning called out in his 18-year NFL career in Omaha and all this stuff, I want to know what the Islanders' words are for certain things. Like what's a break? Is there like, remember they used to talk about Brady always used to call out the mic. Like there was like, I guess a free roaming linebacker or whatever. This is the mic. And he's like, oh, 42 is the mic. And then they would know, I want to know what this lingo is. And I can't, the fact that two reporters just let that hang there without ever giving us at least one or two examples of this is really infuriating. Guys, please, we're begging you for anything. We never get, you know, injury updates. We never know what trades are going down or who's what and who's where. Please give us this. We're begging you. Tell us some of the lingo. I want to know. I want to know these code names. I have to know. Please tell me. I'm begging you. I will sign up. I will resubscribe to The Athletic if Kevin Kurz gives us some of these, this lingo. That's what I need to know.
You got to resubscribe to The Athletic because how else are you going to know what happens when the Panthers win? And what does this mean for the playoff race?
Yes. Because there was some sort of standings where I could look and see what it all means.
Listen up, folks. The Panthers just won their hockey game. Here's what this means. That's 2 points in the standings. Oh, really? Man, we've been scoreboard watching over here since the Islanders started 2-4. I've been rooting against the Washington Capitals every freaking night.
Yeah. We're scoreboard watching the summertime.
Oh, man. Yeah, like this guy.
No, oh, that's going to be worth 2 wins at least.
I need to know the lingo too. Maybe they call each other uncles and he's trying to figure it out. You know, it could be.
That'll be something.
This whole time they've just been using the vernacular that Islander fans use.
Not only would we have inspired an off Broadway play, but we also would have inspired Islanders lingo. That's amazing. In game lingo. That would be, my God, we just retired. Like, I don't know what else.
Islander too. The revenge of the uncles. Did Butchie take throw a stray at Tavares yesterday too? Was that a fever dream I was having? But I heard like Brendan was talking about his bobblehead, Butchie's bobblehead, and he's like, I don't think Tavares is getting one. And it was like late in the game. I was like, what?
Jeez,
love that. I love that, Butchie, man. Like he was really on one. We'll find out what that lingo is. In a couple of weeks. But also, I just, before we wrap this up, you were talking about Horvat before.
Oh yeah.
And to close a loop on that conversation that happened 15 minutes ago, he's been awesome. Like I don't understand. Like I do understand why people from the outside would be like, huh, yeah, couldn't see that shooting percentage coming down, could you, Lou? Like, dude, the guy is basically playing the role of everybody, like a little bit of everybody right now. He's playing a little bit of Barzal. He's playing a little bit of Pageau. He's playing a little bit of Cizikas. He's playing a little bit of Lee. Like,
since he started killing penalties, the Islanders have not given up a power play goal while he's been on the ice.
Yeah, he's like this guy.
But that's crazy.
I don't understand. Like, what I get, he need, like, yeah, we're gonna need him to score. Thank you for pointing that one out to us. Now tell us how many points, you know, the Panthers get for a win. Why don't you? Everything else he's doing has just been, you know, really strong. Like he's very effective. He's playing with either Josh Bailey or Simon Holmstrom. And like you said, I think Holmstrom's been pretty good the past couple games, but will that continue? Who knows? He came here to play with the Islanders' best player. Not someone who's going to be healthy scratched in favor of Josh Bailey or vice versa. Like this is not how it was supposed to shake out. And that's not an excuse, but like he's adapting to it. That's maybe the best word for him, is like he's highly adaptable to the situations. And he's like you said, he's been dynamite on the penalty kill. He wins faceoffs. He's really, really smart. Like doesn't get the Islanders in trouble when he's got the puck on his stick.
I was going to say the hockey IQ is clearly off the charts. Like he's just in the right spot almost all the time, every time, you know, even if it doesn't result in a goal. He's just a super smart guy. And he and Lee seem to have a kind of chemistry going on too. I know. Yeah. He was brought in to play with Barzal, but I don't know. He and Lee look pretty good together.
I think he's been basically, I don't even want to say he's been as advertised, because as advertised would mean like he's going to be scoring, you know, every other game. But he's been like as effective as advertised, just in a completely different, let's just say the Islanders like Islander-fied him. Like they're like, okay, you like scoring goals, that's great, but actually what you're gonna do is you're just gonna do the little things. You're gonna win a very important faceoff after an icing. You're gonna block this shot on the power play. You're gonna, you know, have your stick in the right place to pick a pass off, and you know all those goals. You know that just trust us. The fans here are gonna appreciate you. Clearing a puck out of the defensive zone on a long shift much more than they will a wrister that pings a bar down on Tristan Jarry. Just you wait. So
feel free to hit the goalie right in the logo. That's exactly what we want you to do. Perfect. Boom, right in the logo. That's exactly what we need. So yeah, he's definitely been Islanders fied in that way. But no, he's I mean, I don't know if you would if you found an Islanders fan that had been watching these games, I don't think you'd find anybody that was disappointed in Horvat at all. Despite the lack of goal score, like he's just doing so much, and you can see it. You can see it in the numbers. You could see it in the way the team keeps winning. Yeah. Nobody would be like, he kind of stinks. Like he's just going through one. Like we've seen this before, you know, and it just happens and he'll come out of it. Hopefully just in time for the playoffs. Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the Islanders' upcoming schedule, which is a little weird, but again, could cement their seating in a big way, which would be great. If you would like to hear this very podcast without the corporate commercial interruption, you should go to patreon.com/islandersanxiety, sign up for one of our subscription tiers. Plans start as low as $2 a month, and you can get ad-free versions of our original podcasts. You get bonus podcasts, you get Mike's newsletter, you get My Islanders Book Club, and a ton more. That is patreon.com/islandersanxiety. One of those bonus podcasts is going to come out this week. It is the first episode of our Country Club Atmosphere. So the only way to hear it would be to be a Country Club tier member over at Patreon. So get over there, patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Thanks a lot, and we'll be back on the other side. And now a word from the good sponsors. First, as always, VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, and more featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch. And our portion of those sales go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. If you spend $50 or more, you can use the code 4CUPS, that's F-O-U-R-C-U-P-S, to get a free The Island coffee mug or pint glass, or, and this is brand new, an Islanders Anxiety puck. The pucks are available for sale. You can buy them individually, but if you spend $50 and use the code 4CUPS, you can get a free Islanders Anxiety puck. That is an incredible deal. It's only available at VintageIceHockey.com, so go there now and check it out. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. All of them are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and are available at your local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly. Okay, so the Islanders' schedule coming up is not easy. A couple of the opponents, or at least one of the opponents, should be easy, but that nothing is easy with this team, obviously. The big Dukaroo is going to be Tuesday at UBS Arena versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have, I think they're ahead of the Islanders by 10 or 12 points, but you know they could be anywhere, and it doesn't really matter. It's going to be a circus. Then they have back-to-back. Friday, 7 o'clock, they are in Columbus, and then Saturday, they are at home to Buffalo, and it's a 5 o'clock start. So don't turn in at 7 o'clock and be like, well, how come this game is half over? It's a 5 o'clock start. And that really sucks because the game before is on at 7. They just did this, I feel like, a couple weeks ago. But let's focus on the Leafs game. It's been a few weeks since we shit on the Leafs, and now we have a golden opportunity to. You know, they're back at it. Throwing roses at Matt Murray for coming back and, you know, winning a shootout in Ottawa. They won 2-1. I think they have two goals in their last like two games or something, because they also lost in a shootout, I think, to somebody, Dallas or something. Less. I don't know. I try not to pay that much attention. But this is a huge game. And you know, I know the Leafs are up there, and you know, we're all supposed to kind of kneel at their glory. But I think the Islanders, they don't want to get – the last time they played the Leafs, they got embarrassed. Like and it's happened a couple of times. And I feel like they know that. They know the points are going to be important. And I feel like this is going to be a good one. I won't be watching because these games drive me nuts, so I'll probably not watch that game. But what are you feeling towards this game coming up against one of their big arch rivals and a guy that we all love to hate?
Yeah, it's a game. You know, talking about scoreboard watching, I remember when the Islanders went to the Pacific Northwest Western Canada trip, right, kind of just like mapping out their schedule, you know, penciling in wins and losses, and no worries. I got them all right, obviously, to this point. But I remember like looking ahead at their schedule, seeing them going out west and then coming home to play the Leafs at home in their first game back, which is always a tough thing to do. Go out west for a week and then come back, and that first game is usually a little bit of a dud, but and then to be playing a good team is a little adds a little bit of a more scary on top of it. So I've had this game circled as a loss for a long time, and that's part of the reason why Anaheim and winning winning in Anaheim and San Jose was so important, because the first game back is against a good team, and it's a tricky schedule spot for the Islanders, but they, you know, at some point they're gonna down these last 11 games, they're gonna need to win a game against a team that we all expect them to lose to. They didn't do it against Los Angeles, so hopefully maybe it'll be Toronto, and that'll make a tricky back to back because of like you said, they did against the Bruins like that. They played
Before,
and then they went to Boston and played at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's a huge difference between the Bruins and Sabres. No offense to Sabres, but
And they'll be home, and you know it's again, it's different, but this Leafs thing right now is funny because like we spoke about at the deadline how if you had switched what Kyle Dubas did with you just switched the names on the transactions, you know, Lou would be raked over the coals for acquiring all these defensemen, like Luke Shen and Jake McCabe, who basically, you know, Jake McCabe's a better version of Luke Shen, and then Eric Gustafson, who according to The Athletic is worth $8.5 million per their models, their contract model. Sebastian Aho worth $5.1 million.
Yeah,
of course. When I saw that come out, they're like, player cards have been updated. So I clicked on it because I think you had sent me the Aho thing. And I was I got to see this for myself. And then they still got Oliver Wahlstrom listed as you know, one of the 12 regular skaters for the Islanders. You know, someone might want to knock on the doors over there and say, hey, yeah, this guy has been to more Brooklyn Nets games with President Bill Clinton than he's been with to Islander games lately.
That's funny. But you bring up a good point. Like, I love how Horvat's shooting percentage is like, I mean, that's just stupid. Of course it's going to come down. But like Eric Gustafson having a career year at age 30, whatever, that's not a red flag at all, right? Like that's totally cool. But Bo Horvat having a good year at age 27 and maybe a shooting percentage a little bit higher than normal, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's when you got to add the context, like Eric Gustafson versus Bo Horvat, you know, we expect these kind of things out of Eric Gustafson. Obviously. Where Horvat's come out of nowhere. It's just, you know, there it's bizarre over there. But I'm looking forward to it, though, because the Islanders got the win. So it's a little like I'm, you know, obviously going to be white knuckling through the game on Tuesday. But we have, you know, these wins, what they do is they just buy you a little bit of a breather. And so these next few days here, Sunday, Monday, and most of Tuesday, you can take a deep breath and just enjoy the show. And maybe the Senators can beat the Penguins on Monday. Yeah. I think, you know, we always do this kind of look ahead segment. Yeah. And I think we should include Pittsburgh and Florida in it, because like Pittsburgh's schedule this week is, it gets easier after this week. But this week it's, they play Ottawa at home, and then they do a back-to-back in Colorado on Wednesday, and then in Dallas on Thursday. And then they come back.
Wow.
On Saturday night to play the Capitals. Mm. So, yeah, like, man, we could, if the Islanders can just find a way to scrap together 5 out of 6 here, like we could really do some damage to Pittsburgh in their quest to you know, chase us. But you know, that will require them beating the Maple Leafs, who Jared Bednar, because when you play the Maple Leafs, the first as an opposition coach, especially if you're a coach of a good team, the first question you get asked is, so what do you think? Do you think the Maple Leafs are good? Like, do you think they have what it takes this year? What we'll talk about your team later, but first we got to ask about the Maple Leafs. And Jared Bednar said, yeah, they're a good team. And that made headlines in Canada. You wouldn't believe how important that is to hear and how touching it is. The respect, not only in the handshake anymore, but
yeah, I was going to say it's better than respect in the handshake.
Yeah. Like behind a podium from a Stanley Cup winning coach. I mean, that guy's got a ring, and he said the Leafs are built better this year with Luke Shen. Right. And, Yeah, and every day you hear, is Sheldon Keefe going 11-7 tonight, or is he going 12-6?
Yeah.
Is he going 11-7 or 12? Like, what?
This brings up a good thing I wanted to bring up too. So, again, J.G. Pageau came back for the Islanders this week, and you know how it's the usual crew of people that are always telling you who's in the lineup? So it's like, you know, this guy's coming back from obviously, like, the big guys always, you know, oh, Stamkos is back in the lineup. Like, the big guys get it, Nathan McKinnon, whatever. But every once in a while, it's like somebody who's like, oh, Sam Bennett's back in the lineup for the Panthers, or, you know, whoever. I don't even know who. Some you know, Warren Fogle is back in the Oilers lineup tonight. Did you see any of those for J.G. Pageau coming back to the Islanders at all? Because I did.
No.
I mean, outside of Islanders people, obviously, but, like, I didn't see Rene Lavoie or Elliot Friedman say that, oh, J.G. Pageau is back for the Islanders.
I wonder how many of them knew he was out, because, like, it's just been like, oh, it's, you know, the Islanders, they've been doing this without Matt Barzal. Like,
right.
No, they've been doing it without Matt Barzal and J.G. Pageau. That's their first, right. Or, you know, I guess he's not a center on this version of the team, but, you know, their best player and their third line center and their one of their most important kind of all situation players. And
yeah,
no, no, of course
he's
not.
A top nine player on a playoff team, basically.
Yeah. And you keep hearing the, oh man, like, we're getting a race in the East, and it's so much fun. It's, you know, it's one week it's the Sabres, then it's the Red Wings, then it's the Panthers, then it's the Penguins, and, and just the Islanders are just kind of just like you said, like, they're in a different league. Like, it's so funny that I just don't think anyone knows who plays for them still. Like, they know Bo Horvat's there, and that's about it, because he used to play for Vancouver. Yeah. But so no, they didn't know he was out and came back, and he's now scored, and you're not hearing anybody talk about, oh, Pierre Engvall has, you know, three goals in his last three games, or and now four game point streak, and is settling in quite nicely on that Islanders line. But if it was, you know, the other way around, and this was, you know, Kyle Palmieri going to the Leafs or something, and be like, oh my god, Dubas, man, give him the belt. Because that's the other thing too, if the Leafs win, we're gonna have to hear about the belt from Luke Fox, who's beat is basically writing about what other coaches say about the Leafs, as long as it's nice, and then telling you who got given the belt after the game by the Maple Leafs, who have invented this new post-game ritual, incredibly original, where they give a little tchotchke to the best player in the game, which you just wouldn't believe how innovative this is, because it's just never been done before, and never been, you know, photographed a million times by team accounts and all sorts of places.
It really is remarkable that there, I mean, I could name you probably four guys right off the top of my head whose job it is to just carry water for the Leafs. Like, that's what they do. And everybody on the Leafs has the most remarkable personal tale. They've all overcome some sort of adversity to get to where they are, which is the pinnacle of hockey players of all time. And nothing ever bad happens to them. There's never any sort of, like, you know, they're never struggling. They're always glad to, they're always super excited to play for the Leafs. And everything they do, as long as they're Leafs, is some kind of, like you said, an innovative, unique thing that nobody has ever done before. And so I'm thinking about people like Luke Fox, Chris Johnston, Joshua Cloak from The Athletic. I'm sure that, I mean, James Myrtle, obviously, but, like, every once in a while, like, Myrtle will write something that's somewhat critical of the Leafs, but, like, who's the other guy? Oh, Jonas Siegel, right? Like, these guys, this is their job, is to just make sure that you know that these guys love being Leafs. The Leafs are the best. They're only ever going to have the best, and everything they do is better than everything that your team does. Even if your team has been doing that thing for decades, years, like, whatever it is, it's unbelievable. It really is. And I don't know if anybody else gets this. Like, every market probably has, like, one or two of these guys, but, like, really in the NHL particularly, I mean, there's really only, like, maybe three or four teams that even get this kind of treatment. And, well, the Islanders ain't one of them, but, like, most teams aren't, you know, like, I don't think the Sabres are one of them either. You know, it's just, or the Blue Jackets, like, most of them don't have that sort of thing, but man, the Leafs, they have them in spades. Like, they just, they keep cloning themselves. They're multiplying. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a new one this year who I didn't even know he existed, and he's, like, a TSN guy. I think his name's Alter.
Oh, David Alter, yeah.
Yeah, David Alter. And then there's another guy, I think, Mark Masters, who I didn't even know about. until right. really this year, and he's really good at filming Kyle Dubas just doing mundane things like filling up his coffee. Oh, another cup of coffee for Dubas.
Right. Dubas on the phone. Must be doing a big deal.
Jesus Christ, like he's on the phone again. Oh my God, he's filling up his gas tank. He might be driving somewhere.
It's insane. It's completely insane. Like, and again, I'm looking at a list. Oh, Pittsburgh has guys like that too.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has it. And it's like the Rangers. Montreal, obviously. The Rangers have like a different kind of media thing that like I hate a lot. But what's been going on with them has been a lot of fun with players refusing to talk to the guy from USA Today and Larry Brooks, namely the goalies. And what I actually appreciated was that this kind of kerfuffle happened in a week we really needed them to win. So I'm like, maybe this will galvanize them and they'll stick it to Brooksy by playing well against the Penguins. So thank you to Brooksy for lighting a little bit of a fire under these guys to get the Islanders a couple important wins.
Right.
That was important. When these Leafs guys come, like it, I hope they show up to UBS Arena and maybe like I can just see them waiting for the bus in there. You know, holding out Sharpies for Keith or whoever to sign in, and they're
this all in spite of the fact that Bo Horvat signed like 2 days after he became an Islander because he wanted to stay. Like, he just said, this is great. I'm staying here. This is perfect for me and my family. Okay, you never hear that too much, you know. But they won't write that part.
No, that's not
right.
Well, he would have to have said, you know, the Leafs were on his list, of course.
But
he decided that he didn't want to deal with the adversity that he would have to deal with in Toronto and the pressure that goes on your shoulders, and it's just not for everybody. But and another crazy thing about the Leafs kind of brainworms disease is that nobody mentions that this is. I mean, they're a good team. They've been a good team for a long time. But it's always like, oh man, it's just too bad that the Leafs are in the same division as the Florida Panthers this year. Can you imagine if they weren't? Or, oh man, it's just too bad that the Bruins had to be on a historic season this year. Like, is it just, hey, you could do that too. Like you can win the division, but when it's not set up for you, like the North Division was, like you can go and compete with these teams. And it's almost like this miraculous thing. Like the NHL handed the Panthers this 30 point head start and the Bruins a 30 point head start. Man, the Islanders have been playing in the same division as Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Henrik Lundqvist, like Igor Shesterkin. It's this. You don't get to write that off. Though you're competing with these teams, man. Like you got to try to beat them. Oh, man, can you imagine if the Leafs didn't have to play the Lightning in round one?
Yeah,
You could have. You just needed to win the division. Like you needed to not finish second in the division. And guess what? Then you wouldn't have played the Lightning in round one.
The Metro has been an arms race since its inception. It has always been this way. And I keep getting back to something that you have said, and you are 1,000,000% correct. The Leafs literally had a division set up for them to win and progress to the playoffs, and they lost in the first round to them.
After being up 3-1. To a team that then finished last place in the NHL the next year. Dead last.
It's unbelievable. Like, you lose all credibility at that point, right? Like,
and you'll hear them say, oh, well, you know, like, if they just got the goaltending, like, what? Carey Price stood on his head and stole, if you know, Jonas Korpisalo, then it was Jonas Korpisalo played for the Blue Jackets. You guys lost to the Blue Jackets, and then you lost to Carey Price and the Canadiens, who finished fourth in the worst division. Like, God, it's just bizarre, and they're gonna come down here, and it'll just be really annoying. You know, you hope that maybe the Islanders. I mean, of course, you want them to win, and Bo Horvat to show, you know what John Tavares could have you know been, because I think that the two of them are relatively similar players.
Yeah,
Horvat's maybe, he's younger and maybe a little bit more dynamic, whereas Tavares is more robotic, and in this case I mean that as like a compliment to the player, like he's just
yeah,
but yeah, screw him.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are going to descend upon UBS. So that'll be fun. So guard yourself for that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, as far as the Blue Jackets and Sabres go, obviously beating the Sabres is paramount. And, you know, you don't want to lose to Columbus. I wouldn't say that it would be good or fine if they did that. It's certainly a back-to-back that the Islanders can win. Again, there's a huge difference between playing the Bruins on short turnaround time versus playing the Sabres on short turnaround time. But they, again, we talked about this last week, that they had a bad stretch, and they're pretty solidly in the Islanders' rearview mirror now. But as we've seen, things can change. So, I mean, I don't know who they're playing this week, but if they pick up a couple of wins before that game and then beat the Islanders, you know, they're going to be back in business and we're going to be hearing about it. So that's a key. That's about as key a back-to-back situation as possible. You know, I don't want to guarantee, I don't want to say they got to win both of them, but boy, they really need to win both of those games. Yeah. It would be.
The Sabres are also playing on Friday night at 7 too. So like I think they're playing the Devils. It is in Buffalo too. So like they'll be traveling.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that this week coming up is the Panthers play a back-to-back against the Flyers and Red Wings maybe, or they, maybe it's not. Yeah, it is Monday, Tuesday. They play Flyers, Red Wings, Flyers. And then they have the Leafs and then the Rangers. So this whole, like this is where this West Coast trip has just turned me into a complete, you know, shell shocked individual. Cause like I'm rooting for the, not only am I staying up late and, you know, trying to work my life around that, needing, you know, not having much sleep and not for a good reason. Like, oh, I mean, just had a kid, like, you know, sleep is hard to come by. No, it's the Islanders are on the West Coast playing the Ducks tonight, so I don't have that much sleep. I'm also rooting for the Rangers at the same time. So it's like, you're not yourself. Yeah. You feel very much a shell-shocked individual, and it's going to have to continue. Like, you got Rangers play the Panthers next week.
Yeah.
The Leafs play the Panthers. This is so.
I watched that whole Devils game yesterday because of that, because I was rooting for them to beat the Panthers. And of course they coughed up the lead and I was so mad. And my wife was like, why are you even watching this? I'm like, because this means a lot to a team that's not even playing right now. But Devils couldn't do the Islanders a solid. So it has been a weird week. Yeah.
Another thing too, like you'll hear about in these like mainstream kind of conversations is especially with like, oh, the Jets lost last night. The scoreboard watching always includes like the Jets, the Flames and, the Predators right now. Yeah. But like when the Islanders get like the Rangers beat the Penguins, like that should be something that's talked about. Like the Islanders have to root for the Rangers. Like they're rooting for their bitter rival right now in like 8 of their last 10 games with the way the Rangers schedule is set up. Hmm. Like that's an interesting story. But nobody wants to know. Nobody notices it because to them, the Islanders are still the Islanders of like last year, where they're going to finish like with 84 points and 10 points out of them just never were relevant. But they're in the first wild card spot as we talk right now. maybe that is an interesting story that they're like the Rangers schedule is set up like this.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, we'll probably start. Hopefully the games played starts to kind of even out after a while.
I don't know if it ever will. I just, it feels so weird. I'm trying to do it in my head. I'm like, all right, so the Islanders play again on Tuesday. The Panthers play Monday and Tuesday. And then I think they play Thursday. But then the Islanders have it back-to-back. It's
it is crazy. But and again, they
play again on Monday. Like they play back-to-back Friday, Saturday, and then they play Monday.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the Monday after too. So, but they only have like, what is it, 10 games left?
Yeah, I'm aware. What is the Islanders' schedule? And is like their season ending on March 28th? And everyone else is playing through? Like,
The Islanders are on the Super Bowl plan. They get they got 2 weeks off before starting the big one. So, yeah, so it's a big week with some fairly pretty significant opponents. Yes, that includes the Blue Jackets as well. I'm in a good mood, so we'll throw them in there as well. So yeah, keep your eyes open for that. Got some podcast news to discuss. So just give us a couple of minutes here. As you heard off the top, we are now part of the Fans First Sports Network. It's a brand new podcast network set up by a bunch of folks who are ex of SB Nation, like we are, and their contracts were canceled like ours, and they decided to step up and set up a whole new network that basically is going to run more or less like the way it ran before. These are folks from Amazing Avenue, Behind the Steel Curtain, Dodger Blue. And I know they're adding more people all the time. Abs Habs Eyes on the Prize is one now too. And basically they came to us and talked with us about, you know, their plan. And for us, it's pretty much the same setup as before. You know, the ads work the same. The ad rates are the same. The interface and the host are all the same. So worked out pretty well. Neither Mike nor I want to deal with that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we were going to go to an independent host, but this works out even better. We don't have to do much at all. The feed also has not changed. Still says Lighthouse Hockey on it, even though, you know, we're not officially part of SB Nation anymore, but I am still going to keep posting at Lighthouse Hockey because that is our home. And until somebody tells me to stop doing that, I'm going to keep doing it. And I don't really care. So what that means for you, the listener, is that nothing really is going to change. You're going to hear our show is definitely not going to change. We're not doing anything differently, but you're going to hear some ads from Fans First, you know, podcasts and things like that. You may also get at some point a national NHL show from Fans First that'll come directly into your feed. I don't know. I don't have an ETA on this. It's just something that they talked about maybe happening at some point. If you want to listen to it, great. If you don't, it's okay. You might see us guesting on there every once in a while. If you want to check that out, go right ahead. But we thought this really worked for us, and so we went with them. And again, we're excited. You know, it's weird to not technically be a part of Vox / SB Nation, but I'm glad it's all over. It took a long time. The Vox guys really kind of weren't prepared for all the hornet's nest they were going to kick up once they canceled all those contracts. But it seems like they worked with Fans First to get us all over there. And we're excited. So it should be great. You should definitely check out our Patreon if you want to hear our episodes without ads, because that's the best way to do that. And yeah, so we're going to, you know, that's about all there is to it. You're going to still see us on Lighthouse Hockey. Your feed won't change. Everything is still the same for you. Shows aren't changing. Patreon is there. Go sign up. $5 a month. You could hear our new Country Club Atmosphere show that we're going to be recording right after this. It's non-hockey. We can talk about whatever we want, as long as it's not the NHL or the Islanders, and it should be a lot of fun. VintageIceHockey.com. Use the code 4CUPS to get yourself a free pint glass or coffee mug that says The Island or an Islanders Anxiety puck. You could also buy them individually there if you want. Try wines from the Pinot Project, thepinotproject.com for more. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day. Be most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Michael Leboff, any final thoughts on the week that was or the week that is coming up for the New York Islanders?
Yeah, I mean, just it's we say it every week. It's a huge week for the Islanders. And I'm just thinking back to when the Islanders went down to when they went 2-4 to start the season. And they had that crazy stretch of games where it's like the Islanders need to sweep the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and Avalanche to have a chance to like fight themselves back into the season. And how I thought before they went to the West Coast, you know, it almost felt similar. Like they got to go out West and they got to get 4 out of 6 points. And they did. And they deserve credit for that. And I'm just, you know, I'm chuffed that we're talking about these games. And I'll close with this. It's just been what a joy it's been to watch Zach Parise play these huge games for the New York Islanders.
Yeah. Yep. He's the best. He's 18 goals now, right? Was that
the other one? Yeah. The guy is just, he skates a marathon every game. He just is. I wonder if like after the games, you know how sometimes like men's league teams play after games at like the Coliseum.
He just shows up at some rec center.
Like, hey, we need a ringer. You got a warm body, and Parisi's like already out there. Like,
I was here the whole time. I was just, you know, yeah. I got a cot here that I just sleep on. You know, for these kinds. Yeah, no, he's great. I want.
He's like the type of guy that just would be, you know, in a high school cafeteria, like would just be eating like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and like having a chocolate milk, like into his, like, you know, he's like, here he is, like a hockey phenom. And he's just like still showing up with that same lunch. He's just like, got his, he likes, I like playing hockey. I like the New York Islanders and I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I just, all I know is I want him to be here for a long time.
Forever.
And I would put him in charge of the power play, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah, I put him in charge of everything. Like, he just, I know. I really hope he he's like ends up playing like 8 years here.
That would be amazing. Yeah, right. He's like 45.
Yeah,
and he still scores like 15 goals a year. That would be fantastic. That would be great. Oh, but that reminds me. Speaking of well, memorable Islanders, but for a different way. We did record a Weird Islanders podcast last week that'll be out on Friday, so check that out. It's about a recent Weird Islander that I think people will know, who scored an enormous goal in a very strange season. So check it out. That's your hint right there. Where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lee Basket with two E's.
Follow Mike at The Big Lee Basket, read his work, and listen to his podcast at Action Network. And we will be back next week to see where the Islanders are at then. All right. Thanks a lot. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.